Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد Before I begin I would like to make a request that everybody should try and come closer and hopefully take the blessings of the masjid and of the gathering. Firstly, I thank Maulana Muhammad Saab that he has invited me to come and share some of my thoughts with yourselves. I am not a muballigh, I am not an orator. I share thoughts, and in sharing my thoughts, I hope, one, to better myself, and secondly, hopefully it will be beneficial to all of us, inshallah. We must never underestimate the power and the strength and the benefit of gatherings like these. Because gatherings like these are mentioned in the skies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of them. And that is where the benefit is in gatherings like that. That totally the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be so focused upon a gathering like this that any individual, even if that individual is sat at the back, that individual will take a benefit from a gathering like this. And this is the doing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, the month of Ramadan is close, and to some extent we have all prepared. The month of Ramadan is a visitor and a guest. When this guest comes, it comes with many things. The first and foremost thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fard upon us the month of fasting. But there is a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this month of fast fard upon us. And the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the reason, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that we may inculcate the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we may become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we may develop an understanding that anything I do, be it I say, be it I look at, be it I touch, be it wherever I go, this will be a means of the pleasure, gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what la'allakum tattaqoon is all about. The month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, it comes and we begin to prepare ourselves. But to what extent have we prepared ourselves? To what extent are we ready to embrace the month of Ramadan and benefit from the month of Ramadan? Where I come from in Birmingham, you know, there's always like, I don't know about Leicester, I know the timetable that you follow, but there's vast differences in Birmingham. Somebody is doing Sahri at 3 o'clock, somebody is at, like we do it at 1:30, at 1 o'clock, and then our Fajr is around 1:30. And so people begin to talk, and they say the month of Ramadan is coming, we're going to fast, and you know, we have such a short period of time in which to do our iftari and then our taraweeh and then our sehri, what's going to happen to us? And people begin to say, well, you know, it's a long day, so stay out of my way, I'm going to be in a bad temper. One of the companions who works with us, Maulana Abrar Sahib, he's a teacher. And he mentioned the other day that when he was in school, one of the Muslim teachers mentioned it to a non-Muslim teacher, that look, the month of Ramadan is coming, you stay away from me because I'll be in a bad mood. Really? Is the month of Ramadan something that we should be in a bad mood about? Or is the month of Ramadan something that we should be happy with? This is a month of sabr and a month of shukr. How do we understand what sabr and shukr is? How do we implement sabr and shukr? Because unfortunately we don't implement sabr and shukr through the year, and then when it comes to the month of Ramadan, we have been programmed in such a way that when the month of Ramadan comes, we behave in the same way in the month of Ramadan as we do outside the month of Ramadan. Now this guest that comes to us is a very auspicious and honorable guest, the month of Ramadan. And if we are to gain benefit, and if we are to better ourselves through the month of Ramadan, through the barakat and the blessings of the month of Ramadan, how is that going to happen? It's going to be very difficult. Predominantly the thing we need is sabr and shukr. Sabr, so when we're fasting in the month of Ramadan, we know we're hungry, we know we're thirsty, but we make sabr on that. We don't get into a bad mood. We don't say to another person, you know, I'm in a bad mood now. And you see, in the month of Ramadan, what happens is that people tend to be very touchy. And it's not a month to be touchy. It's a month in which we should share love. It's a month in which we should be compassionate. It's a month in which we should be merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most compassionate and the most merciful. How compassionate is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? At every stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an opportunity. Allah knows, hum to Allah ke gande bande hain. We are sinful, we are dirty, we have done so much wrong. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to better ourselves. The night of the 15th of Shaban comes. People stay up, they make dua. Ya Allah, forgive me. Come close to the month of Ramadan, there are still opportunities for an individual. Even in the month of Ramadan, in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ was climbing the minbar, the steps. Before this minbar, the Holy Prophet ﷺ used to rest on the stump of a tree. And when this minbar was built and the Prophet ﷺ used to use the minbar, that tree stump began to cry. Why? It cried because the Prophet ﷺ wasn't leaning on it anymore. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given something that we say doesn't have any life, doesn't have any feeling, yet it had love for Rasulullah ﷺ to such an extent when the Prophet ﷺ stopped leaning on it, it began to cry. So the most merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And everything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the month of Ramadan, it comes with blessings. And these blessings are such that at every opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an opportunity that whatever you may have done, don't worry about it. I am here to forgive you. And this is what the month of Ramadan is all about. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ went up the steps. So, and he said, Ameen. And then he said, Ameen. And then he said, Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Sahaba kiram, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, you know, it's unusual. We haven't seen this before. You stepped on the minbar, you said, Ameen, and Ameen, and Ameen. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ replied and said that Jibreel ﷺ came to me and he made baddua. He cursed those individuals. On the first step, that individual who does not send salutation upon me when my name is heard. So whenever the name of the Prophet ﷺ is heard, salutations should be sent. On another step, when an individual embraces the month of Ramadan and he doesn't fully take benefit from the month of Ramadan by having his sins forgiven, that individual, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam cursed, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. And then on the third step, when an individual has elderly mother and father, and he serves them, then that individual is a lucky individual. But in this case, that individual who has an elderly mother and father, and he doesn't take the opportunity of serving them, that individual is cursed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made man. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. In the best of molds. Out of all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man is the best. And with man being the best of the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give man the best. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the Holy Quran. And the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the doing of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran, shahra Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. In the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran al-Kareem. So many blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and it's an opportunity for us. This opportunity shouldn't slip our hands. It shouldn't go from us. Today there is a big problem, and the problem is mobile phones. The mobile phone has taken us over to such an extent that it now governs everything we do. The mobile phone, it governs everything we do. It controls our lives basically. Some brothers, they came to Birmingham in our masjid. They were in Jamaat. So they came to the masjid and they said, can you do us some nasihat? I asked them, when you wake up for Fajr, what do you use to wake yourselves up? They all said, we use the mobile phone. They put the alarm on the mobile phone, it goes off, and they wake up for Fajr. Or they don't, whichever. So I said to them, put your phone away, turn it off, and buy an alarm clock. And use the alarm clock. Detach yourself from the mobile phone, because the mobile phone is now taking control of our lives. On the mobile phone, the elders, they don't understand this so well, but the younger generation, they absolutely understand what I'm talking about. And the mobile phone has become so detrimental. There was an article in the news a couple of weeks back, and they did some research. In that research, they found, they researched on 9-10 year old children. And the major cause of depression was not having a mobile phone or taking the mobile phone away from them, so they can't interact with the mobile phone. So detrimental to such an extent. What does the mobile phone do? It destroys relationships. A lady came to me the other day and she began crying, and I said, you know, what's wrong? Explain yourself. She says, how can I tell you? I said, well, you either tell me or you don't. So then she told me that over the phone she had, she's married, she's got children, but she has a relationship with somebody else on the phone. So how do we deal with that? The mobile phone and this this social thing, what do you call it? Social networking. Subhanallah. I don't know if your Maulana talks about this, but I talk about it every week, week in, week out. Because I absolutely am very concerned about what is going on with the mobile phone and the applications. There are applications that we use for the mobile phones. You either have an Android, which is something to do with, I don't know, zeros and ones, and you have the iPhone, which is an OS platform or something like that. Allah knows best, I don't know. And that uses zeros and ones. And what is all this about? Young children now, they want to socialize on social networking. We want to socialize on social networking. We don't want to socialize on a one-to-one, go and see somebody and give them salam. What happens to an individual when he goes for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to visit his brother? It's a hadith long, I'm going to cut it short, I'm not going to take much of your time. When he goes to visit his brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the angel says, there is no reason, there is no motive for this individual to visit his brother. So what does Allah do? Allah announces his name in the skies, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. Because he loves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where are you going to get that on social networking and having Facebook and Twitter? And there are so many now. And in our madrasa, I've confiscated phones from the students. And you look in it and all you see is a whole page of social networking apps, applications. The greatest application Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is the Quran Kareem. This is the best of the applications. Within these applications, there are other applications. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat ligad. And look forward to what you're sending forth in front of you. What neki is going in front of you? What good deed is going in front of you? Now what happens with the mobile phone? You take the mobile phone and you just press, you just have to tap it. And it's gone. This thing is so detrimental to such an extent that it's mind-boggling. And it's taken over our lives, it's taken over everything we do. The other thing, very, very quickly people send emotes or these smileys. I don't, the older generation don't understand, the youngers can explain to them. You don't answer somebody, they send you a sad face. Why? Somebody calls you on the mobile, you don't answer, and then they get upset with you, you didn't answer my call. Is this the way we should be going? Or there's a different way for us to adopt. There's something for us that we need to understand. And that is the way of the Quran and the Sunnah. The way of the Quran and the Sunnah should dictate upon us, not the mobile phone. The mobile phone and the apps, they dictate upon us. They fashion our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fashioner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fashioned us. In the best of molds. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made man in the best of molds. And there is a purpose behind that. That purpose is humanity. That purpose is, he is insan. That purpose is so that he remains an insan. And within insan, there should be insaniyat. When there is no insaniyat, there is hewaniyat. And what is the mobile phone doing? It's actually doing that. It's killing us, it's making us something else. There was a discussion on the apps. There are so many apps that are now available. A person can make a friend on the other side of the planet, and they can say hello to each other and talk to each other. They've never seen each other. They're now friends. You see these, I've got so many friends, 100,000 friends, 2 million friends. What is the benefit of having all these friends when they are of no use? Apart from the fact that they're just a number of 1 and 0. They're either a 0 or a 1. I don't know, those people that are technical will understand what I'm talking about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a purpose. And that purpose ultimately is insaniyat, so that we understand who we are and what our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be and with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the month of Ramadan is coming. The month of Ramadan is a month that we should benefit from. And first and foremost, we should try and have our sins forgiven, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that our relationship with Allah becomes better. Between now and the month of Ramadan, increase the istighfar. Make istighfar every day. Increase it. Make salatul tawbah every day. Recite the Quran every day. Do some Durood Sharif every day. And then on the onset of the month of Ramadan, when the month of Ramadan comes, inshallah it will be easier for us to embrace the month of Ramadan and to get into the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, when the month of Ramadan comes and you see between Asr and Isha, people, or between Asr and Maghrib, people will be sat in the masjid, they are reading Quran, subhanallah. So we need to develop that, and we need to understand that we need to develop that to such an extent that it becomes a habit, such a habit that we don't let go at the end of the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to understand what is required from us in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the ability to be able to do as much as we can in the month of Ramadan, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end, inshallah, gives us Jannah without any accounting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept my coming, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your sitting, and jazakallahu khairan wa ahsan al-jaza, that you people, you've sat and you've been patient with me, and I will make dua for you inshallah in the month of Ramadan, and you make dua for me as well in the month of Ramadan. Jazakallahu khairan wa ahsan al-jaza. Within the practice of tasawwuf, within zikr, there are different ways of doing zikr, different forms of doing zikr. And there are different tariqas. Each tariqa has a different way, the Chishtiya, the Sohrawardiya, the Qadriya, the Naqshbandiya. Myself, Maulana Muhammad Sahib, we both follow the Naqshbandi tariqa. And within the Naqshbandi tariqa, what is known, they are muraqabat. It's a form of dhikr, but it doesn't have to do with moving the tongue or anything. It's an exercise to instill and to develop consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that can only be done in the heart. When the heart becomes programmed, when the heart begins to become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's all to do with the heart, not the mind. The brain has its own capacity, the brain only thinks, but actually it is the heart that is a box of emotions, and it is this box of emotions that we need to develop, and it develops with by doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by adhering to the Quran, to the Sunnah, by reciting the Quran, by doing istighfar, by reciting Durood Sharif, by performing Salah. All these things are imperative. The most important thing in anybody's, a Muslim, their life is following the Quran and the Sunnah. At every step, to understand and appreciate that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this and I should do it. How do I go in the toilet when I am performing my wudu? What should I recite? Look at that, subhanallah. I was saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive us. The dua when we perform our wudu, Allahumma kfilli dhambi. We are asking for forgiveness. We come out of the toilet, we are asking for forgiveness. We come in the masjid, we are asking for mercy. We leave the masjid, we are asking for the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At every stage there is a reminder that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, repent, make tawbah, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, one of the things that we do in our tariqah is muraqabah. And it's a form of dhikr. And basically, it's quite easy. We shut our eyes and we focus on our heart. The heart is the major thing. It is the heart we need to develop. It is this heart, it needs to come to life. There's one, the beating of the heart, where it's constantly beating. When the child, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts life into the child, when the child is in the womb, it begins to beat then. And it doesn't stop beating. This heart now beats and beats and beats until this person lives in the dunya 60, 70, 80, 100, 120 years, and it beats all that time without stopping, and it doesn't tire of beating. But that's the physical heart. We're talking about the spiritual heart, and to make the spiritual heart into a spiritual heart. So, and this form of dhikr, this is what it helps. It helps to develop the heart, and it helps to develop spirituality, so that our connection with Allah and our connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes a better one. So we shut our eyes and then we focus on our heart and we contemplate the mercy. The mercy, wasiat rahmati kulla shay, that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything, including the non-Muslim, including the animals, including the fish in the sea, including the birds in the skies. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending upon everything, upon everything, upon everything. But when a banda sits in the remembrance of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a special attention. Alhamdulillah, we have the special attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now. But when a banda sits in the dhikr of Allah specifically to remember Allah, there is more of an attention coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is in the form of a mercy. When this mercy comes down, we don't get enough of it. The heart will drink it and drink it and drink it and drink it, and it will never stop drinking the mercy of Allah. This is the capacity of the heart. We underestimate what our heart is. We underestimate what our heart is. Our heart has the capacity to be so big that it can take the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, sit for a few minutes, shut the eye, just focus on the heart that the mercy is coming down. And for every ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, we should be thankful to Allah. For everything. I said that the month of Ramadan is about shukr. So we need to understand what being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so compassionate and so merciful that we are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Koi baat nahi, I will give you, don't worry, I am going to give you." And on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us all and say, "I know you were weak. I created you weak. But you know my mercy is so much. I'm going to forgive you. Go in Jannah. I'm going to give you free entry into Jannah." Say Ameen.
Ameen.
We don't want free. We want free entry into Jannah, don't we? Inshallah. But we must work for it as well. So, shut the eyes. Contemplate the mercy coming down upon the heart. And out of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this mercy, the heart is saying, "Allah, Allah, Allah."
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا شفينا ولا ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.